You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, in your kindness and in your mercy, we ask in this moment that you would do the thing that only you can do. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, would you take these words that are in your word, and would you use them, would you shine light upon them? Lord, would you use them to great effect in our hearts and in our souls? And Lord, would you renew and refresh our hope in our Lord Jesus today, we pray. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen. What is a joy for me to be with you all today. I'm honored by the kind invitation. It's a joy to participate in such a rich Christian tradition in our city, a tradition that I've been able to benefit and be blessed by countless times over. So thank you. Samuel Johnson, an 18th century British poet, playwright, essayist, moralist, literary critic, biographer, newspaper editor, a man of many talents, said something once that has become for me in pastoral work a philosophy for preaching. Johnson said this, and I quote, "People need to be reminded more often than they need to be instructed." So I've come today on a rainy Friday afternoon with a simple reminder for you based on this passage from Luke's gospel. And this reminder comes to us today in the shape of stunningly good news. This, what I'm about to say to you, will be the best news that you hear all day. I can actually promise you that. It's news that has the power to set you free, because the sheer announcement of this news carries with it the Spirit's power to do so. It just so happens to be all our hope this afternoon. So I'd like to announce it to you from the very beginning because I don't want you to miss it. Jesus Christ welcomes sinners. And he changes them. He makes them new. Jesus Christ welcomes sinners and he changes them. He makes them new. So if you are here today and you happen to have walked into this sanctuary as a sinner, or if you happen to walk in here today as a person deeply desiring to be made new, then you've come to the exact right place. So this story in Luke's gospel comes to us already loaded. It's already fraught with tension. See, right before this scene that I read for you, Luke tells us that Jesus is being criticized, belittled, ridiculed, specifically because he has made himself known by his words and his actions as a friend of sinners. And it's with that tension in the air that we are able to see in this scene a concrete example of what all the fuss was about. See, the setting is a meal scene, which is a sacred event in the ancient world. Jesus has been invited to share a meal, to be at table, likely for the purpose of sharing conversation about the law of Moses. And he's been invited by a Pharisee, and a Pharisee whose name is Simon. Now, Pharisees, of course, are those who, and this will suffice as an explanation for today. Pharisees are those who are found in the gospel stories as purposefully distancing themselves from sinners. See, they stand in contrast to Jesus, who we see over and over drawing near to sinners, who's found over and over receiving sinners, who's found over and over dining and eating with sinners. And as Jesus is dining at Simon the Pharisee's dinner party, the unthinkable happens. A sinful woman, a woman of the city, literally the words say a woman who is known in the city as a sinner. You don't have to have a degree in ancient Near Eastern culture to know what's going on here. She's a prostitute. And she barges in the dinner party. She throws herself at the feet of Jesus. She shows him adoration, worship. She shows a stunning act of repentance. And Jesus welcomes her. He literally just lets it all happen, which is outrageous. And Simon, the Pharisee, knows this is outrageous. It's scandalous, it's absurd, it's ridiculous, and it's all playing out in his dining room. And imagine that with me for a minute. Imagine the most fancy dinner party you've ever attended with the most important people you've ever been with for the most important purpose you can think of, and then all of this happens. Verse 39 gives we, the readers, access to what Simon the Pharisee was thinking. Verse 39 says that Simon was thinking, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for he is a sinner. See, Simon is saying that Jesus obviously is not who people claim him to be because he's welcoming a sinner. A great prophet would not do such a thing. If he were God's true representative, so Simon thinks, he would distance himself from this woman. So we get to hear what Simon is thinking, but can I ask you a question today? Do we not tend to think Simon is right? I mean, be honest. Don't you tend to think that if Jesus just knew, if he knew, if he knew, fill in the blank in your own life, that he wouldn't have you? I mean, you know yourself, don't you? You know your fickle faith. You know your personal private darkness. You know your hidden motives. And as one example, you know your quick tongue because you have burnt down many things in your life with it. You know your disordered desires. You know your idolatry. You know your secret shame. You know your unique and particular entanglements to sin. You know the ways in which you try to escape these things by drinking that or clicking on that. In language that we are all familiar with, there are things that you have done, and you're haunted by them. There are also things, by the way, you've left undone. And you know this, and if you get still long enough to pay attention, you know deep in your bones that there is no health in us. In the words of the psalmist in Psalm 51, it is ever before you. In other words, we tend to agree with Simon. We tend to think like Simon, or worse, we tend to live as if Simon the Pharisee is right. But hear me this afternoon. It's just that, and this so happens to be all of our hope today. It's just that Simon the Pharisee is exactly wrong. Let me remind you that this is Jesus we're talking about. God in the very flesh, the one before whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and no secrets are hid. And this Jesus is the one who knows her situation exactly. He knows it better than the guests at table. He knows it better than she knows it herself. He knows your situation better than you know your own. And yet, Jesus Christ welcomes her. In verse 40, Jesus reads Simon's mind as he's thinking these things, and he speaks up, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Simon replies, "Say it, teacher." And Jesus tells a story about two debtors, the point being that sinners who've been forgiven much worship much. He goes on to say that Simon apparently does not understand the way the economy of mercy and grace works. Jesus makes the implication that Simon doesn't really think he has much need for forgiveness, and therefore he runs the risk of missing Jesus entirely. And that is an important point. Because if you supposedly have no need for him, you will miss him. Because Jesus Christ welcomes sinners. But listen, Jesus Christ welcomes sinners only. My favorite words from Martin Luther, and by the way, that is saying something. Strike the right chord here. Here's what Luther writes. "God receives none but those who are forsaken. He restores health to none except those who are sick. He gives sight to none but the blind. He gives life to none except for the dead. He does not give saintliness to any except sinners. He does not give wisdom to any but fools. In short, he has mercy on none but the wretched and gives grace to none except those who are in disgrace. Therefore, no arrogant saint," or no Simon the Pharisee, we might say, "can be material for God." Jesus Christ welcomes sinners. But there's more. Jesus Christ welcomes sinners, but he also makes them new. See, that this woman has come to Jesus in the first place in adoration, in repentance, shows us that the healing and redeeming work of Christ is already underway in her life. That he pronounces forgiveness over her, that he pronounces salvation over her. "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace," means that she has found peace with God and satisfaction for her deepest longings. In the terms of the prophet Jeremiah, we are watching in this scene a heart of stone that is being converted into a beating, pulsing, living heart of flesh. We're seeing faith working its way out in love. This woman has been, is being, and will be changed. Because Jesus welcomes sinners and he makes them new. I have three children. A boy who just turned 11 this week, a boy who's 8, and a little girl who's 5. And I shared this story with their permission. It was an afternoon where me and my boys, they were 7 and 4 at the time, were on a hike at Red Mountain Park here in town. Somehow along the way, the conversation on the hike turns from snacks to sin. They start asking me questions about sin. And we're talking about how sin is an offense against God's righteous character. We're talking about how sin is a violation against our neighbor. We're talking about how sin does unique damage in our own hearts. We're talking about the forgiveness and grace and mercy that can be found in Jesus. My 8-year-old, who was 4 at the time, underneath his big brown eyes and his wild curly hair, he's a deep thinker. And he says to me, in so many words, "Daddy, the whole forgiveness of sin thing sounds good." But then he says to me, "But what about the heart part? Can hearts that have been damaged by sin be healed?" And the obvious answer to that question from this story, from the New Testament, from the whole of the Scriptures, is just a simple, "Of course. Of course." Because Jesus Christ welcomes sinners and he makes them new. He has gone to the cross to prove as much. He has been resurrected from the dead to assure as much. And all of this, the full scope of all of it, can be yours. And it can be yours even today. I offer this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.